scripture. Oh, by the way, Rosalind, thank you for your mission moments. Thank you for teaching us what God is doing, because Athena Christian Church is supporting, and not just supporting, but sending people to the field. Judy's been there twice. And it's just exciting to see what God is doing. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Everybody go, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So God is really good. And so Rosalind, Melissa, thank you from the missions team for sharing and putting these things together for us to keep us informed, because you can pray more specifically when you know. I didn't know, for example, that children outside of the village can come in and get schooling. That's pretty awesome. That's good stuff. This morning, in our message, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. New Testament or Old? New Testament. Yep, towards the end of your Bible. Hebrews, James is after Hebrews, is James. Hebrews chapter 4. The writer of Hebrews, I tend to think it's Paul. We're not for sure. There's a suggestion of a few different authors of the book of Hebrews, but Hebrews was included in the 66 books of the Bible, the 27 books of the New Testament, and is a very inspiring book. I would ask you to read the book of Hebrews. It tells you a lot about the supremacy of Jesus. And so the author of Hebrews is setting us up for chapter 4. He sets us up by saying that Jesus is superior to the angels, chapter 1. And then he tells us to pay attention. Watch your faith. Pay attention. Close attention. You know, when we go into sin, whether it's accidental or premeditated, we're not being very careful about watching our faith. Be very careful, he says. Chapter 3, Jesus is greater than Moses. Now, to a Hebrew, Moses and Abraham are awesome people. Moses led people out of where? Egypt, out of bondage, to the promised land, and they did something. They didn't watch their faith very closely, because when they got to the south end of the promised land and they sent in 12 spies, remember how many said they could not take the land? 10 were bad and 2 were good. How do we do that? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Thank you. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Looked into the promised land. And for 40 years, wandered in the wilderness because they did not watch their faith closely. We say, don't we? Our God can do anything except beat the giants in the Canaan land, in the promised land. Okay, being in Israel, seeing some of the fortress walls of these giants that the Israelites would be going up against, these were big people. They were large people. Anybody remember Andre the Giant? If you've seen him, yeah, he was a wrestler, and then he was an actor, and he was a big man. And these people were like that. And so when the Israelites saw them, they went, well, the Israelites didn't see them. The 10 spies who said, no, we can't, saw them and brought back a poor report. Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. And Then in chapter 4 talks about a Sabbath rest. Rest. Do you know that bonding, like a baby to a mama in the first year, produces this? That's actually a byproduct of what really happens. When a baby in its first year has a need, and the baby cries to express the need, and mama comes and meets the need, the result of that is really this. It's rest. It's rest. Everybody go, you can feel it when you actually make your muscles relax. Can you imagine a baby whose arms are controlled by mama? Baby can't defend self because arms are all wrapped up by mom. And there's this closeness of eye contact, and it's all restful. No fear whatsoever. Bonding. In a very similar way, our journey with God is bonding. Our faith in Him is learning how to trust, but trust is a byproduct of rest. We rest in God. And that's what chapter 4 is talking about. A Sabbath rest. Not the seventh day of the week Sabbath rest, but a rest in who God is and who Jesus is. Rest there. We need to have experiences in rest so that our brain can capture what it means to rest. So having experiences, perhaps, let me just ask you this way. I want you to think of, don't say the name, but think of the person who is your safest person in this world. A physical person, not Jesus, not God, not the Holy Spirit. A physical person. Who is that safest person for you in your world today? You think of that person, and that's a relationship that describes some rest. I can be who I really am there with that person. I can be me. I can be beautiful and I can be ugly. Not ugly in terms I didn't put on makeup today or I didn't dress my best today, but ugly in terms of attitude or whatever, and I'm still safe with this person. Rest. That's what we're talking about. And so now, the end of chapter 4 comes this idea of what rest produces. Therefore, because of chapters 1, 2, and 3, and because Jesus is supreme to the angels, supreme to Moses, supreme to Abraham, because of that, approach the throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. Okay? Little Emma here. She got up here and got scared. Right? She knew where safety was. Children can teach us a lot about safety. I know where safe is at, and I'm not with it. I'm not with where safe is. And so come get me. She really taught us what I was illustrating. She didn't run to mama. She said, "Mama, come here. It feels too big and too far away for me to get to you. You come here." Confidence. And that's what I want you to capture today, is this confidence. So what I want to show you today is this. Oh dear, that's not working. I'll be right back. So, in Christ, Paul uses that phrase and phrases similar to it in Ephesians a bunch of times. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And it's in Christ that we live and move and have our being. It's in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Yes or no? What's your answer? And so if you are in Christ today, I want to show you something that has been a theme in Christianity, and I've seen it in myself, I see it in others, and it's this. God is holy. He is holy. Holy means he's pure. There is no darkness in him at all, 1 John tells us. There's no darkness in him at all. He is total purity, total light. Therefore, because he is holy, he not only will not but cannot have relationship with darkness or sin. Now, we've heard that a lot of times through our growing up years and hearing it from sermons and books and resources. God will not do relationship with sin. Okay, we get that. So what is God's relationship with the sinner? When a sinner sins, the relationship is I don't think I'm writing this probably big enough. Can you see that? Separation. The relationship is separation because the sinner is not in relationship with the Father, not covered by the blood of Jesus. Separation is already the description of the relationship. Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and fall short or separate from the glory of God. So we get that part. We understand that. Here comes the problem, though. The problem happens when you as a Christian, what Paul calls a saint, are you a saint today? Yes or no? Yes. Are you a saint today? Okay, great. A saint is not one who is perfect without sin. Our attitude is, I'm not sinless, but I'm working to sin less in my life. So that's our effort. We are also called to be separate. Not separated from God, but separate from what? Separate from the world, separate from saving my life my way, separate from that even. We've used the definition of sin as meeting my needs my way instead of letting God meet my needs his way. Whenever you get into that, you're sinning. God, I don't know, this scares me. I think I'll do what I've always done and either avoid, ignore, run, hide, isolate, attack. Whatever your response is to whatever you're facing, if it isn't in Scripture, if it does not agree with Scripture, you're moving into a place called sin. James talks about that, chapter 1, starting in verse 10 through 13, that sin entices us, and then we massage the idea a little bit, and then pretty soon we're in the pool with sin, and then if we keep doing that over time, that sin grows to maturity, which Paul calls, or James calls, death, separation from God. But as a saint, you are set apart for holy purpose. Now, if we left that phrase right there, we would all agree, yeah, that's a good thing. I've been set apart for a holy purpose. Let's really add one more word to it that really describes what God has saved you for. So he saved you from sin and set you apart for a holy purpose only. You are set apart for holy work only, not for holy work and saving myself. Doing good things for God, saving myself. That's not what saint means. Let's have an attitude of pressing in to our sainthood. I'm not describing a Catholic type of idea here in terms of sainthood. I'm describing who you are in Christ. Terry Calvert used to say this after we got onto this teaching. He'd say, "Hey, St. Delbert, how you doing?" And I like that. That was kind of cool. That was pretty neat. So in a relationship with the Holy God, when a saint sins, the black arrow representing sin, what is the result? Too often we go here. It's separation from God. We say, uh-oh, I'm separate from God. Now it can feel that way. We can go, oh, I feel so bad about this. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul teaches, maybe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul teaches about remorse. He said there's two kinds of guilt. There's godly guilt, which takes you to repentance, or there's worldly guilt that takes you to regret. Regret I got caught. Or maybe I regret that I did that, but that regret isn't going to change how I behave. Repentance, let your sorrow, he says, for sinning against God or others or yourself, lead you to repentance, changing your values to God's values. When you sin, the result of this is discipline. Because God said, as a Christian, I am done dealing with you as a sinner. I don't deal with you that way anymore. Okay, everybody smile, because that's cool stuff. I don't deal with you as a sinner because you're not. I hear the phrase often, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, if you're saved, why is your name still sinner? It should not be. Paul didn't write in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, to the sinners in Ephesus. He didn't say that. He said what? To the saints in Ephesus. And the same in Philippians. God is done dealing with you on a sinner level. He is now dealing with you on a saint level, a relationship that is complete. Jesus didn't leave anything undone when he died for you that you have to somehow make up. No. Holy, saint, God deals with you now in a relationship of righteousness. All right? And that's what discipline is all about. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn with me there to Hebrews chapter 12. So we're already in chapter 4. We're going to go a few more pages. Chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. In your struggle against sin, okay, what is the writer here describing? He's recognizing that we still struggle with sin. He's recognizing that it is an ongoing battle as long as we're on this earth. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood like Jesus did. Verse 5, and you've forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons and daughters. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. What's that mean? What's that phrase mean, do not make light of? Just audience participation here. Do not make light of it.
Disregard.
Do not disregard it as something, oh, I can take it or leave it. It's no big. Don't treat God's discipline that way. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Oh, I'm so bad. No, you're not. What are you? You're a saint. You're still in relationship with your Father. When he disciplines you, do not lose heart. Verse 6, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. There's a smile word. He disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Okay, the word punish there is not this word, separation. That's not this word. Verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone does undergo discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, verse 9, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more? See, this is a comparative phrase now, comparing the discipline of an earthly father, but now with a heavenly father. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Whose good? Our good. Because for our good is coming from a good, good Father. He knows what's good for us. That we may share in his what? Holiness. The whole point of God disciplining us and treating us as adopted sons and daughters is to purify us from all unrighteousness. Discipline hurts. Discipline can be confusing sometimes. Discipline can be embarrassing. Have you ever had God discipline you through someone else who brought something to your attention that you went, oh my goodness, I can't believe I said that or did that or whatever it be, and it embarrassed you? Don't fight that. The flesh will say this, well, who made them Lord over me? Right? We can have a tendency to go there, or we have a tendency to fight back or gossip back. Brothers and sisters, don't do that. Sometimes when we try to correct one another, it's out of a heart of goodness for you. It's out of a heart for love for you. And the same when you do that for others. Sometimes we deliver our message really poorly. Yes? Have you ever corrected someone and later on thought, you know, I could have thought that through a little bit more? God uses his church, human beings, you and me, other saints, to help each other become aware. And this is discipline from God. So the point for today is this. God is holy. There is no darkness in him at all. We have learned this part a lot. Sinner, separation. That's what happens when you sin, separated from God. And we just transfer that over to this side and say, that's what happens over here too. When I sin as a saint, I'm separated from God. I beg to differ. Is your sin so powerful that it undoes what Jesus did on the cross for you? No. But God is going to deal with you through discipline because he loves you, to bring you back closer to him, to help you know where you've stepped away from God's path. 2 Timothy 3:16. Turn with me there. 2 Timothy, just before Hebrews and Titus, is 1 and 2 Timothy. chapter 3, it's one of the 3:16s of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. You're going to love this. Are you ready to love this? This is good. 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul is giving a charge or an instruction to Timothy. Timothy is a youngster, if you will, in the faith, and Paul has taught him, and now Paul is charging him, you go do what I've done. I'm releasing you, all right? And so he says in verse 16, Timothy, I want you to remember this. All Scripture is God-breathed, and meaning God is the source of Scripture, and is useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. These four things Scripture gives to us. Let's unpack that a little bit. Scripture is useful for teaching. I like to say it this way. Teaching is showing you how to get on the path of God. Okay? Romans 10:14. How can people know to come to God if there's no one there to preach to them or teach them? Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's you. Okay, everybody, look at your feet. Look at your feet. They're beautiful. Yeah, see? Beautiful feet. Because your feet take you to places where you get to share your hope in Jesus Christ, and that's a beautiful thing. Wherever you're at, it's a beautiful thing. Teaching, helping people learn how to get on the path of God. Rebuking is showing people how they got off the path of God. Rebuking can be kind of a strong word. It's not, by the way, you're kind of off the path. It's not real big, but you know, you're off. No, that's not rebuking. Rebuking is, you're off the path. I want you to know, I'm not pulling any punches here. This is serious. If you allow this to happen and continue to happen and follow that path, it will take you to a place you do not want to go. It will not be good for you. Rebuke, it's a strong word. Again, how you deliver is important. Okay, how you got off the path of God. Correcting, how to get back on the path of God. How to get back on the path of God. This is a little softer word, correcting. Okay, I've rebuked you. Now I'm keeping you and showing you, I'm walking with you on how to get back on the path. Okay? I'm not saying, you're an idiot for being over here, I'm rebuking you. And, just read the Word of God and figure out how to get back on the path again. That is not what this means. Correcting is a relational word. I'm teaching you, I'm showing you how I'm doing this with you. And then training in righteousness. How to stay on the path of God. How to stay on the path of God. Righteousness. How to live in right relationship with God regardless of the situation or circumstance you are in. I think we need to pray like this before we get into any kind of situation. Father God, you've created me to live in a right relationship with you. I think there's something coming down at work or at the family or wherever, and I'm watching that. Would you help me respond to whatever that is your way? I want to do it in a righteous way. I want to do it in a way that represents and represents you well. Training for righteousness. Now, verse 17. So that, or the result of all this training, so that every man of God may be thoroughly equipped. How? What kind of equipped? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right, brothers and sisters. We have a holy God. He has said very clearly, I will not have relationship with sin. And for the sinner, that is an accurate statement. I will not have relationship with them. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, you were like them at one time. You were like them. You are no longer like them. Them being people outside of Christ. He's talking to the Gentiles here, and which we are. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. You were formerly like them, but now you are adopted into the family. You're no longer separate from him. You're now included, and you live under one name, the name of the Father. Wow. Today, as a saint, when you sin, I want you to understand that God is going to use the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, other people, to discipline you, to show you how to get back on the path again. All right? How to get back on the path again. Because discipline is what we need. Doesn't feel good in the moment. No, it doesn't. But we need it. And we understand it from a earthly parent. Going to discipline me. Because my mom and my dad, they love me. And when I do things wrong, they're going to do that. Why would we not think that about our Father God too? Especially when he so clearly says it. Saint, you are set apart for a holy purpose only. To represent and represent God to a world who lives in a relationship like this, separate from God. And God says, I'm being patient, 2 Peter 3:9. I'm being patient with those who are not yet in Christ, that as many as possible may come to repentance. That's a message to you and me. Show people. Oh, good, beautiful, feeted people, you. I don't even know if that was a real phrase. It is now. Show people who this beautiful Jesus is. And when you sin, do not go into fear that you are far away from God. You come back to him. You let him teach you how to get back on the path. You let people that he brings to you teach you and show you. Okay? All right. Worship team, come on up. So now, the result of all this is you can approach the throne of God with, what's that C word? Confidence. Confidence. God is keeping you. Okay? He's keeping you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for your goodness to us. Thank you for being one who keeps. Thank you for being one who disciplines. But Lord, help us not to fear being separated from you because of sin. Yes, sin can separate us from you if we follow it to its end. But Lord, you always try to bring us back to yourself. Help us be good listeners, be mindful of our faith. So, Lord, that we are people who are easily correctable. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.